Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Getting On Top. I apologize for the long intro. I will straighten that out before the next show, I promise. And you're listening to Getting On Top on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Paul Morris. And we broadcast from the Southern Hudson Valley region of New York State, which is the northern suburbs of New York City, my hometown. And we're here usually Tuesdays about 4 to 4:30 p.m. We're here half an hour earlier today. And I'm very pleased to have back my guest, Penny Cohen. Penny is a licensed clinical social worker, transitional psychotherapist, relationship counselor, and the author of the book Personal Kabbalah, 32 Paths to Inner Peace and Life Purpose. And today, we're going to be talking about maintaining relationships, why they fail, and how they could be made to flourish, and whether the relationship is in business, a close friendship, or a romantic one, including marriage, expectations are an important dynamic. Since relationships often end due to the dissatisfaction of one or both parties dissatisfaction in the performance of one of both parties. Expectations is a key parameter. Another key reason relationships fail is the inability of one or more parties, that is intimate relationships or romantic relationships, the inability of one or more parties to reach a stage of emotional intimacy. In the book Games People Play by Dr. Eric Byrne, the author describes different stages of the relationship of couples. The ultimate stage is that of emotional intimacy, but unfortunately, most couples never reach that goal. Most couples who marry survive for, let's say, 10 or more years, wind up in a stage called games. Thus, the name of the book, Games People Play. Today, Penny Cohen and I will discuss these issues and others, the intent to convey a way to start, maintain, and perhaps even improve how people relate in close and intimate surroundings. And just as a beginning, I want to say I've been married 51 years. So I know a little about marriage and relationships, and they're all challenging, no doubt. You have your ups and downs. And Penny, you there?
I am.
Yes.
I am.
And Penny's been married a number of years herself, so we do have personal experience to draw upon besides knowing about human behavior and psychodynamics. So there you are. So, Penny, what thinks you?
Well, you talk about what creates dissension in relationships. I think a more important thing is how can we attract the right relationship? And unfortunately, unconsciously, we attract the person who vibrationally reminds us of one of our parents and where we've closed off to love. And we're together in a relationship to really learn how to open to love again. The only problem is, after a while, one partner says, he reminds me of my mother, or she reminds me of my father. And therefore, we start criticizing and judging, perhaps the way we did in childhood. And the person we attract is our biggest spiritual guide.
Wow.
If we could
Really?
learn how
Oh.
to let go of judgments, criticisms, control, assumptions, beliefs about the other person. And it's a great big challenge because, we ask the question, why am I here? And we're here to learn to love and stay in the love with whatever we're doing and whomever we're with. And that means communing with ourselves first and processing our thoughts and feelings. And it's completing the unfinished business of where we've closed off to love. And so a lot has to do with the words we use, the attitude we have, inferior or superior, the know-it-all type attitude, giving directions and commands rather than making requests. And it's a whole new way of dealing with each other.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. This is a huge topic, and we could probably have many shows on it and go on for hours. I mean, there's a lot of ways to look at it, and all, I'm sure, as valid as the other. Like a person's personality, there are many ways to look at it. Again, all valid, just a different viewpoint. Front, side, back, and up and down. Another thing I wanted to mention, I believe that, and I wrote an article about it on Easy Magazine, those two particular things. First is, unrealistic expectations could be a problem, certainly. And also, failing to reach intimacy. But also, I think on a practical note, I think that obviously men and women are quite different, in their needs and so on and so forth. But in a relationship, I think more or less, at least I could speak for the man's point of view, men are pretty, aren't that complicated. I mean, our needs aren't usually that complicated. There are a few basic things we like, we need. If you satisfy those, usually we're okay. But I think in general, between two people, there are usually a few things that someone needs. We're all different, and it could vary. In other words, some people may like to be listened to or understood. If you get those few things right, you know what I'm talking about? About your mate. There are a few things that are very important to them. See what I'm saying? If you understand those few basic things and, you know, you kind of are able to satisfy them, usually the rest of the stuff you can, you know, work out. You know what I'm talking about, Penny? Does that make
sense? Well, I did a workshop on a marriage strife to intimacy for men only. Mm-hmm. And the first night, I said to them, look, this is the first time I'm doing this workshop for men. And us women know what you guys want. I'm here to teach you what women want. And this one guy very snidely said to me, what do they want? I said, they want to be listened to. They want to be understood. They want their feelings validated and empathized with. And he said, I thought that's what they have girlfriends for.
And
a lot of, I wouldn't even make the distinction between men and women. Left-brain people aren't into emotions, and they're into more solution-focused rather than listening. And ideally, for a healthy relationship, we want to learn how to communicate to help the other person come up with his or her own solutions. So we actually want to become life coaches for each other. And if, you know, it, generally the man is more left-brained than the woman, but not necessarily.
Wow.
If he could learn to listen and validate and empathize, the woman will open up and he will feel her love. Now, on the other side, what came out of that workshop was men generally live with anticipatory fear of failure. All they want is for their wives to be happy and for them, the men, to be appreciated. And I have found in a lot of relationships, there's usually a breadwinner. There might be a dual career family, but usually there's a breadwinner who works overtime, who puts a lot out to provide for the family, and they got no appreciation for it. And then they don't feel good about themselves in the relationship. One of the other things is, if the women, I'm using the stereotypes here now, if the women are not happy, the men take it personally. Mm-hmm. So it's a big responsibility for women to be happy all the time. Men have to realize, so left-brain people have to realize that sometimes their partner's unhappiness does not depend on what their partners, what they're doing, but they take it personally.
Well, it's emotional.
That's not so healthy.
Well, yeah, okay, but you know, let's be honest about it. We're emotional beings. We like to think we're not, but we are. Okay, you know, we like to think we're logical beings, but we're really emotional beings. We're run by emotion. I mean, there's no question about it. Even. You know, elections are run by emotion. You know, we often elect people who are attractive to us. I mean, I remember first time I voted was 1960. I voted for JFK, and he was, you know, he was charismatic. I mean, how could you not like that guy? He was unbelievable. Barack Obama had the same appeal to people. You know, they just like him. He was, you know, the guy really knew how to project himself. And that's a big, big part of how people react to things. And even in sales, which is a very, you know, it is this, it is that kind of thing, they say that you buy on emotion and justify with facts. I know Penny, your husband's in sales, and he'll, I'm sure, verify it completely. So even in something like that, emotion is really the primary circuit. You know, we don't like to believe that we're like that, but we are. You know, so it's not that easy to just...
Well, when you talk of emotion, men feel emotion or closeness with sex. Women feel it connecting through communication. Okay. And that in itself provides separation.
Well, okay. I understand what you were talking about before, they want to be listened to. There were two books written about that. You Just Don't Understand, and Men Are for Mars and Women Are for Venus. They're the same book, different, you know, different people wrote.
Right.
And they said in the book, women. When I hear when I hear my wife come home from work and and say this is going on, the men always try to solve the problem, and women don't want to hear that. They just want to listen.
Exactly.
They don't want you to try, but we can't help it. That's how we think. We, it's a problem here. We'll solve it, and then we're okay. But no, they just want you to shut up and nod your head and give a hug or whatever. And it's we don't think that way, but this is the way they, like you said.
But you can be trained.
We can be trained.
To do it. And
well, you
got to
get husband biscuits, like doggy biscuits. Okay.
Well,
every time we do it, you give us a biscuit.
It's a process. It's not that easy. You see, you mentioned emotions. I have a lot of women who will come in and say, I'm emotional and he's stoic. And I feel my feelings and he doesn't. He's rigid. The reality is, even the women may be acting out feelings more often than the men, such as crying or badgering or criticizing, but they're not feeling their feelings and dealing with them.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there's deeper core feelings beneath anger and frustration and depression. And if we can get in touch with those deeper core feelings, that's when we can learn how to heal them.
Yeah, but even on a simple basis, I mean, some things, I understand what you're saying, but don't forget you're a psychotherapist. So you think in those terms, but most people are incapable, and you're a very good psychotherapist, so tell everyone from personal experience. But most people can't do that. They can't, be a therapist like you, and it's not that easy to train people or make them change. That's a hard thing to do sometimes.
They're not changing as a person. They're changing the way they communicate.
Uh-huh.
They'll actually do better in business, in sales, if you learn to listen to your clients customer.
Absolutely.
You do a lot better.
Sure.
If you can validate and empathize with them, they'll feel closer to you.
You're right.
It works in every which way. It works politically also. You mentioned politics.
Right.
And I'm on a mission almost now about what's going on in the USA and the protests. Protests in general are very negative.
Yeah.
I'd rather see people proacting from a positive place.
Yeah.
I'm spiritually oriented when I work with clients who are in relationships or individually, and one of the biggest things I teach and preach is whatever we judge in another means there's something within ourselves that's still unfinished unresolved.
Yeah, but let's bring it back to, and everything you say is true, and I'm not denying it, but, for the regular Joe and Jane, sometimes these things are a little beyond practicality for them. I'm not saying there's not a lot of wisdom in it and so on. But, for a regular person, I would say, how do you get along? How do you maintain a relationship? I think being flexible is important. You know what I mean? I'll tell you from my own standpoint, my wife and so on. Men, again, aren't that complicated. They like to be fed. They want usually sex. To be left alone at times to do whatever guys do, drink beer, watch football, whatever, and not to be nagged or harassed. beyond
that, the problem is
there's not a lot more they need. You know, they usually the rest can be handled. I mean, we're not that complicated, guys. Yeah, go ahead.
They may not be complicated, but they're not listening to the needs of their wives.
No, I'm telling you from their standpoint.
Okay, even from them,
to make them happy.
From their standpoint, they have to feel good about themselves, whether their wife is happy or not.
Yes, I understand that.
From their standpoint, they have to get rid of the fear of anticipatory failure if they're carrying it.
You know, but how is a wife going to do that? She's not a psychiatrist. I'm not saying you're wrong. You're absolutely right. But that I'm talking about how the woman, what the woman could do from a very basic, you know,
a
regular,
woman can show appreciation.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Show appreciation.
Yes.
Support her husband if he has a fear of failure instead of criticizing.
Right. You're absolutely right. But those other practical things are there too, and they, you know, they work. You know, I mean.
Okay, but these are some of the practical things.
Absolutely.
You should have a date night once a week.
Absolutely.
You should go dancing or
absolutely.
Do something different to get out of any doldrums. These are very practical things.
Right, absolutely. And also to be a little flexible on both sides, the men and any two people, whether two women in business together, two men in business together. You need a little flexibility because, you know, we're not perfect. We all have our little, you know, issues as a person. And if you could be a little flexible. Look, if the other person, if you're in business with someone and the guy is a gambler and he's never there at work, he's out on the track, yeah, that's a problem. You know, you can't work him. But, you know, if somebody... you know, something's a little off, you try to be a little flexible. You know, some people are very rigid, you know, in a romantic or a business relationship or a friendship. So that's another practical thing I think people could do.
I have 10 points.
Go ahead.
I call it Penny's uncommon philosophy.
Go ahead.
I'm having a great intimate relationship. If you'd like to hear them, I can recite them.
Okay.
Or else people can email me and I'll send it to them.
Good. Say it.
Number one, although a good relationship involves what you think about the other person, what's more important is how you feel about yourself when you're with that person.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, although a good relationship does involve how well you get along, what's more important is how well you can handle each other's garbage. Although a good relationship includes effective communication skills, what's more important is how quickly and thoroughly you get over the disagreements and forgive your partner and yourself. Number four, although a good relationship does include arguing, it's arguing not from revenge, but love. You know, some people go for the jugular. Instead, if you're coming from love, you can work it out.
Mm-hmm.
Number five, although a good relationship involves lightheartedness in both partners, it's important to be able to laugh at our own idiosyncrasies.
Mm-hmm.
And your partners, and make fun of it all.
Mm-hmm.
This is where your flexibility comes in. You mm-hmm. just mentioned it before.
Mm-hmm.
Although a good relationship is loving, it's more important to realize love is self-imposed. That's a topic for another show, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Although a good relationship involves self-care and self-love, in the form of exercise, good nutrition, general cleanliness, and beauty habits, it's more important to internally process daily to receive love from your higher self, stay in the flow. This gets more complicated, and again, for another show. Number eight,
I thought we were we were at five.
No, I have 10 of them.
Oh, there are 10. Okay.
Yeah.
I've been trying to write them down, but I guess. Okay, so this is number what?
Although a good relationship involves supporting, guiding, advising, and helping your partner succeed, it needs to be done free of attitude, judgment, criticisms, expectations, blame, and shame, and without an attachment to an outcome. Number 9. Although a good relationship involves being loving towards each other, the feeling of being in love emerges when you allow yourselves to receive each other's energies and the two souls merge. This too is for another show. Number 10, being in love is learning how to just be and feel worthy and deserving and open to receiving love and sharing it.
Excellent. I mean, I lost you after five a little, but I love the first five. I didn't write the rest of them down, but I think you're perfect, right on target.
Yeah.
Right on target.
I mean,
laugh at yourself. I mean, that's such a big one. You know,
was that, Paul? I'm sorry, I didn't.
What?
What was that? I didn't hear what you said.
I said I only wrote down the first five, but I they're simple. They're straightforward. I think they're great. They're great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I love the thing about laughing at yourself. You know, I try to do that a lot. Some people don't. And I always say to myself, boy, you can't laugh at yourself. You got a problem because, you know, life's full of garbage, like you say. And you got to sometimes say, screw it. What the hell? We're imperfect beings. And you got to, that takes all the pressure off when you laugh. You say, oh, screw it. What the hell? You know, and you have a good laugh about it. That's so important. So important.
That's right.
You know, and, I think you're on to something, definitely. I don't know how far folks who are listening, the station has changed the protocols a little, so we may be ended exactly at 30 minutes, or we may have a few minutes extra, so we got cut off. My apologies. I'm learning the new protocols. So I apologize, but we're getting close to the time. So I'll try to they say we have a minute and a half. So I'm going to try to go over, but I'm going to try to kind of end it here and then add a little extra if we can get it in. So final sum up. Penny, tell people how they can get in touch with you or they want to know more about what you do.
Okay, and if anybody wants that list, please feel free to contact me at penny@pennycohen.com, and you can visit my website at pennycohen.com.
Excellent. And if anybody goes to Block Talk Radio and looks at the show, they will see Penny and have her website, pennycohen.com, PennyCohen.com. And I'm Paul Morris. And if you want to know more about me and what I do, you can go to depressivesanonymous.org, depressivesanonymous.org, find out what I do. You seem to be going a little over, and that's good. So let's get in a few. We have 10 seconds. Let's see if we can go over or we get shut off. So, Penny, what do you think about the next show?
The next show, we can do something, continue on relationship.
Yeah, there's a lot, so much here. I mean,
is, as we started talking, because you brought up a good point of what are just some of the practical things.
Yes.
But then there are much deeper things that people can get into,
absolutely,
which can really because most people are loving, or they can say, I love you, but I'm not in love anymore. And the question is, how do we learn to be in love?
Yeah. Well, let me put it this way. Everybody I ever knew who I would say had a really good marriage always talked about their partner as their best friend. I don't know if that's been your experience, but that's been my experience.
And well, it's as their best friend, and they respect them.
Well, that's the word they use. They all use the same term. Yeah.
There are primary stages in a relationship, and that might be what would be good the next time. The first one is the lusting stage, when you first meet and you can't live without each other and you want to be together all the time. Then the second stage is the judging, criticizing, and controlling. I'm right, you're wrong, listen to me, you know. And then the third stage is either separation or learning deeper communication skills and emotional skills to get to core feelings and release them. And that's a real process. However, it is possible, and it opens you to a new world, a new life, and a new way of feeling love.
Right. But just, you know, also a marriage, you know, and I have grandchildren now that are approaching their teens, and I friends of mine in my age who have grandchildren who are out of college already. They got started young, and so did their children. But I'm probably more, your grandchildren are probably around the same age as mine, I would imagine, the ones from your, you know, first marriage, right? So my point being, you're married, you're young, you know, and then, you're in the midst of raising a family, and you have a mortgage, and, you know, you're struggling, and, you're commuting like I was, 3 to 4 hours a day, I was just, commuting time for me, you know, plus the time at work. So, you know, you're running around. There's not a lot of time to think about, you know, the relationship. Often you're just caught up in things. And, you know, it's a lot harder. I mean, after you're empty nesters like I am and you are, you know, you have more time to think about those things. And maybe in the beginning before you have kids, you know, so also there are different stages in a marriage, a long-term marriage, and, there are different dynamics involved. And also, people go through midlife crises. I know I did in my 40s. And then, you know, a lot of breakups happen during those periods, right? I'm sure you know, because you spent
a
lot.
So, I am going to have to go in a minute, Paul, but
okay.
When we talk about breakups, maybe a good title for the next show is Midlife Crisis.
Okay. Okay, that sounds good. Okay, well, thank you, Penny Cohen, for being my guest. And we're going to be doing a lot more shows together. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Blog Talk Radio. And my show is Getting on Top. I'm your host, Paul Morris. And we're not going to be here next week because I'm going to be on vacation. But 2 weeks from now, I will be back. And we'll talk about midlife crises. So, goodbye. And see you in a couple of weeks. Bye, Penny.
Bye, Paul.
See you later.
Take care. Have a good time.